This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
It's 7:15 and this is the evening edition with Lynn and Sharmila. So the MOH recently acknowledged that there is an issue with brain drain. This is, of course, similar to almost every other industry in Malaysia, but we want to look at how they plan to tackle this.
So they are essentially working on addressing this with several measures, right? And the aim is to allow more junior doctors to become specialists, to retain existing specialists in the public service, as well as to bring back specialists who have left. So really, the long-term ramification of this brain drain is that we will eventually have fewer and fewer specialists in the specializations that we need. So some of those initiatives that are being carried out include creating specialist training spots for contract junior doctors, allowing contract doctors to apply for federal scholarships to pursue specialist training, as well as to improve financial incentives for specialists. And if all of this is sounding relatively familiar, it might be because these are some of the pain points that resulted in the contract doctor's hartal that we heard about a few months ago.
Yes, and I think are also quite specific in some ways to the three different tiers that they're talking about, right? Allowing more junior doctors to become specialists, so creating those training spots for that, retaining existing specialists by improving financial incentives or by allowing them to apply for scholarships, bringing back specialists. I think that one is going to be very tricky because when we talk about financial incentives, I think there's also a question of how much that is. But the Deputy Health Minister has said that they hope to have 28,000 specialists by 2030. And that is more than double of what we currently have, because at the moment we have 13,000 specialists, half of whom are in the public service as of June this year. So in other words, we need quite a lot of this to work quite immediately, actually, because 2030 isn't that far away. And as we've heard recently, there are significant issues that arise from a lack of specialists in our country.
Yeah, and I think it's good that we're looking at this. I hope that enough of the stakeholders involved are being engaged and to have these discussions, because you're right. It perhaps may not just be enough to announce them if there isn't proper follow-through or even consultation.
So we'd like to hear your thoughts on these initiatives. Do you think that they're enough? You can call us 7733-2900, WhatsApp 018-789-8899, and tweet us at PFM Radio. And to find out more, we're crossing over now to Professor Dr. Sharifa Izzat Wanpute, Professor in Health Economics, Hospital and Health Management at the Faculty of Medicine, UKM. Prof, welcome to the show.
Hi, welcome. Thank you. Thank you so much for having me here.
So have you noticed an increase in doctors and specialists leaving the public sector? And perhaps you could also talk to us about why this might be.
There have been an exodus of doctors and specialists leaving the public sector for so long, for so many years. And there's a lot of factors. I think the most common factors that we see is because of the financial gains that you have at the private sector. And also there's a lot of more freedom in that area in the private sector. Coming with the COVID, there's a lot of stress being put in the public sector. And we see that some public servants even leave during the COVID pandemic and go for the private sector as well.
So how is the loss of specialists in the public service affecting our healthcare system? Could you perhaps give us an example of how this might play out with a specific illness or specialization?
Well, you do know there's a lot of specialty in medicines and in healthcare, and there's a lot of specialists around, but there's a lot of specialists who have left our public service and went into basically the private healthcare. So example would be even in infectious diseases, even though most of these are in the public sector, infectious diseases, there's a lot of internal medicine specialists who has gone into the private sectors, and this will go on across for surgeons and things like that. So in the end, the ratio of some specialty in the public sector is definitely deficient, and we have to wait probably a longer time for some operations and things like that, to make sure that we are being seen or being managed by a certain speciality of doctors. So I do agree that the brain drain has been occurring for so long, and but the government has so-called strategized a lot of things or a lot of activities to retain our specialists during this past few years, and we see that the effect is quite good, where even though there's an exodus that has left, there are still doctors in our public sectors. And they are, most of them are in very high positions as well.
So if we look at the initiatives that the ministry is talking about introducing now to further this issue, right, as to retain specialists, attract those who have left, we ran through them earlier, improving financial incentives, offering scholarships and training. What are your thoughts on this? Is it going to be enough?
Well, some of these incentives are for young doctors. We saw the, you correctly mentioned about the high star, and these are usually younger doctors, and most of them have not gone through their specialty training. For those who are already so-called specialists, some of them are already bonded by the government, because some of them do go by government scholarship and things like that. So they have to serve the government in one form. And the government has done, in fact, a lot of things or a lot of activities to support specialists in the public sector. One of the ways that they have done that is having a private wing. And we can see that even in the public sector, we have our own so-called private wing. And this was started by the education or so-called the teaching hospitals. So even though these incentives are being so-called provided by the government, I still think that the pasture is greener on the other side. And people leave for a lot of reasons, and the exodus will not stop. I do think that for specialists, this would not actually stop them from leaving. Although, looking at the other side, where you have your younger doctors, I think this incentive would actually benefit them a lot, so that they would not leave our public system and go out to the private or go to the other industries. So this is specifically good for our younger doctors.
So speaking of those younger doctors, particularly the ones who are calling for reform with the Hartal, as we mentioned, do these initiatives sufficiently address their needs?
Well, you can't have everything in such a short time. I do think that the government is trying their best to address all these so-called issues and the contract doctors issues, and trying to retain them as much as possible. There are still a lot of things that the government needs to do. One of them is trying to make sure that they would be, not only be given contract basis, but also to make sure that they have permanent posts in the government. I would like to emphasize that the ratio of doctors in Malaysia, even though we have come with leaps and bounds, our ratio is still not enough. The so-called ratio that we actually want would be like one doctor to 400 to 200 population. And if we look at the states, by different states in Malaysia, we see there's a lot of discrepancy between states as well. So some states, example, probably Klang Valley or Penang or even Johor, there's a lot of doctors around, and the ratio would be so-called probably we can achieve this. But in some states, things like states in East Malaysia and some states in even in West Malaysia, we still do not have enough doctors to cater to our population's demand. So I do hope that more efforts can be done to address the contract doctors issue, and to able to retain them and provide them for specialty training, because once they go into the specialty training, the basically the game changes drastically. Because if they are into specialist, if they are trained as specialists, they can be actually posted in a lot of areas where a lot of our specialty are deficient, things like anesthesiology, surgery, and so forth. So we need these young doctors to be in the public healthcare system.
We have a question from a listener, Cheryl, who wants to know why aren't doctors, or why can't doctors in public hospitals be paid the same as those in private hospitals?
The obvious reason is that we are not for private. Our hospitals are not, when we're talking about healthcare system in general, and most of these would be the public healthcare system, these are so-called public hospitals. And we are not charging patients by private rates. So there's a different rate for public sector and there's a different rate for private patients. And if we are going to pay our doctors using the private rate or basically, a higher rate, and it can be up to maybe 5 times to 10 times the difference. So if we are able to pay our doctors the private rate, oh, this is very good. But unfortunately, where are we going to get the money? Our return from our financing system is not that good, especially in healthcare, because most of the healthcare services that the government provides is basically subsidized by the government. You can especially see this during the pandemic. If you look at admissions, let's say this is the category 3 admissions in the private sector, this would cost up to maybe 30,000, for example, a length of stay for about maybe 1 to 3 weeks. But if you look at the public sector, basically the government doctors, they are not paying much, and basically they are basically subsidized wholly by the government. So we are not able to pay our doctors this rate. And unless we come up with a new sort of system, either through another system, social insurance or things like that, we are not able to pay our doctors as much as the private sector. And this is one of the biggest reasons that we are losing our doctors to the private healthcare.
Now, the goal is, of course, by the ministry, is to have 28,000 specialists by 2030. Do you think this is realistic?
Well, we can strategize having, trying to reach that target. But for me personally, I don't think that we can achieve this target in 2030. 2030 is not very far away from now. And we are, being brought down by the pandemic, and there's a lot of resources that has been strained during this pandemic. So I don't think that we are able to achieve that.
What else? I mean, you've covered this a little bit, but we just have about a minute left with you. I thought we would check. What else would you like to see from the Health Ministry in tackling this issue?
Well, I think that the Health Ministry would be able to provide more resources into the public healthcare system. The public healthcare system consists of not only the public hospitals, but also the public primary care system, so that the hospitals will not be burdened by patients.
Prof. Sharifa, thank you so much for joining us.
Welcome.
That was Professor Dr. Sharifa Izzat Wanpute, Professor in Health Economics, Hospital and Health Management at the Faculty of Medicine, UKM. I think giving us a very realistic take on this suggestion or this push from the Health Ministry to try to address the brain drain that we are facing when it comes to our specialists. We'd like to hear from you. Do you think that these initiatives are sufficient? We do have this anonymous message that came in just a little while ago.
So they say, I'm a specialist in a district hospital. I asked to be transferred to a small town. Hospital director was not happy on the day I arrived because they don't appreciate changes. So demotivating. The management is not supportive. This is happening on top of junior doctors being held back from reaching their true potential.
That's disheartening, isn't it, to read? And I think speaks to a number of those structural changes that Prof was talking about as well. Keep those thoughts coming. Call 7733-2900, WhatsApp 018-789-8899, tweet us at BFM Radio.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my, BFM 89.9, the business station.